This is Jordan Secchio. Breaking news on Jay Secchio Live. Joe Biden joins 19 other Democrats vying to win the primary just to run against President Trump.
Live from Washington, D.C., Jay Secchio Live.
The core values of this nation, our standing in the world, our very democracy, everything that has made America, America is at stake. That's why today I'm announcing my candidacy for President of the United States.
Phone lines are open for your questions right now. Call 1-800-684-3110.
I asked President Obama not to endorse. Whoever wins this nomination should win it on their own merits.
And now, your host, Jordan Secchio.
I have something to say right about that. This idea that he asked President Obama not to endorse. Now, it would be typical if he was following right after President Obama, serving as his VP, for President Obama to kind of take a step back in from the limelight, focus on his presidential library, and let others kind of take the stage, like Joe Biden, if he had decided to run right after that term. But he didn't do that. And the idea that he told President Obama not to endorse him at a time when probably President Obama is still the most popular person in the Democrat Party and the person who could probably help get you over the edge when you're up against a Bernie Sanders type. And I say that because they're the only two even within really the same battle. And Biden, of course, jumps into the lead. But I'll tell you, not by a ton. I mean, you look at the battleground states, as we're going to do, you know, 6-point leads here, 7-point leads here. And the big test for Joe Biden will be, and Joe Biden acknowledged this on a conference call with his top donors, is not how he does in the early states with voting yet or the polls. It is, does he come close to raising the kind of cash that Bernie Sanders was able to raise in 24 hours? I mean, really, within these next 24 hours, Joe Biden faces his biggest test, which is there grassroots enthusiasm and big dollar donations? So he's going to do some big dollar fundraisers he can report in 24 hours. But he's also got to get grassroots money, and that's not the norm for him so far. It has not been. He's been more of the traditional big fundraiser type, which is fine long term, but doesn't always give you the best numbers in those 24 hours like Bernie Sanders can do with the small dollar donations. Honestly, Bernie Sanders runs much more similar to how we do it, like ACLJ, with average donors giving about $35, $40. Joe Biden has got to kind of figure out that world. I want to go right to Than Bennett because, Than, there's a lot being made about the polls. Joe Biden getting a bounce, obviously, from making this official. No one is really shocked. There was some issues about whether he was having second thoughts, but now he's gotten into the race plenty early enough.
Yeah, definitely early enough. I would say a couple of things, Jordan. Yeah, first of all, if President Obama was willing to endorse, Vice President Biden would have taken it and he would have led with it. President Obama wants to stay out of this until there's a nominee. But Jordan, just kind of at a top level, I look at this, first of all, through two metrics. Of course, the first is polls, and it's very early on, but there's really a threshold, a leader threshold of two there. It's Joe Biden and Bernie Sanders well ahead of everybody else. And then if you look at the fundraising numbers, Jordan, it's really a leader of one. That's Bernie Sanders, because of the two reasons you mentioned, the overall number raised and the huge number of small donors, 900,000 individual donors. I'd say there's three other candidates, Harris, O'Rourke, and Buttigieg, who also have fundraising numbers that keep them competitive for now. We'll see if Vice President Biden enters that threshold, Jordan. But look, I think those are the top five. Joe Biden is definitely in there. But honestly, if you were to ask me if Joe Biden's going to win the nomination, while he's certainly competitive, Jordan, I would tell you that I don't think he is.
Yeah, I mean, I look at this. This is the day he kind of pops. You know, he's out there, and he may get a little bit more of a bump. But right now in the poll, it's not like he's unknown. He's got 3 in 10 of those voters that have been surveyed. So he's at 30%. To Bernie Sanders, this is a nationwide polls, 24%. So he only has a 6-point advantage over Bernie Sanders and a 7-point lead over him in the tracking polls. So, I mean, it's not like he's coming out of the gate with a 20-point lead by any means. And then when you get into the states, the margins get pretty small as well. The key voting states of Iowa, New Hampshire, South Carolina, and Nevada, which are very important. And again, very close. I mean, this could be, we could be seeing the makeup of the race. It could be a Biden-Sanders race. Or is there someone else who can kind of lead the charge for the Democrats? We're taking your calls at 1-800-684-3110. What do you think about this announcement?
At the American Center for Law and Justice, we're engaged in critical issues at home and abroad. Whether it's defending religious freedom, protecting those who are persecuted for their faith, uncovering corruption in the Washington bureaucracy, and fighting to protect life in the courts and in Congress, the ACLJ would not be able to do any of this without your support. For that, we are grateful. Now there's an opportunity for you to help in a unique way. For a limited time, you can participate in the ACLJ's Matching Challenge. For every dollar you donate, it will be matched. A $10 gift becomes $20. A $50 gift becomes $100. This is a critical time for the ACLJ. The work we do simply would not occur without your generous support. Take part in our Matching Challenge today. You can make a difference in the work we do, protecting the constitutional and religious freedoms that are most important to you and your family. Give a gift today online at aclj.org. Only when a society can agree that the most vulnerable and voiceless deserve to be protected is there any hope for that culture to survive. And that's exactly what you are saying when you stand with the American Center for Law and Justice to defend the right to life. We've created a free, powerful publication offering a panoramic view of the ACLJ's battle for the unborn. It's called Mission Life. It will show you how you are personally impacting the pro-life battle through your support. And the publication includes a look at all major ACLJ pro-life cases, how we're fighting for the rights of pro-life activists, the ramifications of Roe v. Wade 40 years later, Planned Parenthood's role in the abortion industry, and what Obamacare means to the pro-life movement. Discover the many ways your membership with the ACLJ is empowering the right to life. Request your free copy of Mission Life today online at aclj.org/gift.
So Joe Biden is officially declared a candidate. He joins 19. Wow. How many town halls? How many different debates? I mean, you got four different debates, like tiered four, one, two, three, four. CNN will, I'm sure, you know, how many more town halls so they can finish last place? I don't know. Maybe they've gotten all those done now. I guess Joe Biden will now get to do one. And it'll be interesting to see, does he engage the Fox News of the world as some of the other candidates have, because he kind of has this, I can take it on, you know, I'm a tough talker, straight talker kind of guy. He kind of plays up to be the Democrat version of a John McCain. That sometimes does well in a primary. Your second or third time around so far has not proven to do well in a general election when you're up against someone who is, and I think President Trump is in a different way from President Obama, so don't quote me on this as saying he's just like President Obama, but charismatic in their own unique way. It's tough for these guys to kind of get through. 1-800-684-3110. Now, the big poll they're pushing out, which is trying to scare the Trump supporters out there, to me has a huge silver lining in it. It's on Drudge. It says Biden has an 8-point lead. So Trump is at 34% of voters nationwide. Again, we know these polls don't really matter because you have to win. It's Electoral College, and President Trump showed that to Hillary Clinton. And Joe Biden is at 42%. So an 8% gap. But there are 19% of people who say they don't know or have no opinion. I'm telling you, folks, those are the same 19% of people, at least some, I'd say the majority, give some of them to Biden, fine, that didn't want to tell pollsters they were supporting President Trump the first time around. We know there was a silent, it wasn't just the majority, because he had already a base about 34-35%. There was this whole more 15, 16, 17% of people, Than, who were not going to put a Trump bumper sticker on their car for fear of what people may do to them or in their yard, but they absolutely went to the polls for him. And to me, that's what this poll just shows again. President Trump underperforms. Joe Biden probably is tapping out at 42%, which would be about how I could see the election falling right then. You add the 19 to give a few more to Biden, maybe 45, 46, and the rest to Trump, and there's the election.
Yeah, honestly, Jordan, if I was President Trump's campaign, I think I would look at this polling, and even if it was accurate, I'd be perfectly content with it. And I would add just a couple of things to the point you made to go along with the unidentified voters. Number one, this is before the Democrat primary even starts. Yeah. And I got to tell you, I'm not, you know, Senator Biden has a very long voting record. And look, regardless of whether you're liberal, conservative, or in the middle, there will be a lot inside that voting record that you will not like. That will all get aired during the primary process, and Joe Biden's numbers will get dinged because of it, no matter where you are on the ideological spectrum. The other thing is, Jordan, just to drill a little bit deeper on what you suggested, this is not a national election. It is a state-by-state election, and Joe Biden or any other Democrat nominee will have to beat the president in the Rust Belt. And a lot has been made about Joe Biden's strong numbers in the Rust Belt. You know, he's very famous for being Lunchbox Joe and all of this, very strong numbers in Pennsylvania. Jordan, do you think the state that has just reached the lowest unemployment record in history, Pennsylvania, is going to walk away from the president that delivered that number? I personally do not. But if a Democrat nominee is going to beat the president, that is what's going to happen, and it's going to have to be replicated across the Rust Belt. That's going to be a very tough thing to pull off.
All Republicans have to do is remind people about what it was like to live and work in those states or not work in those states when he was vice president under the Obama policies, the anti-coal, the anti-manufacturing policies, that we have to just retrain all workers. We can't manufacture again. We can't mine coal again. There's no such thing as clean coal. It's got to all move to electric and all that, all this Green New Deal stuff. That's going to go over very well in states that are finally recovering. Whether you go across that Rust Belt, Pennsylvania, I mean, you look at cities like Detroit that are rebuilding, and there's still a lot of work to do. I'm not taking away from that, but they are rebuilding. There's new things being built there. Companies coming in and investing, small, medium, and large. The Wisconsins of the world. I mean, and you don't have to win all of those as President Trump did, Than, to get elected. I mean, he just had an ultimate sweep. You don't have to hold all those.
Yeah, no, absolutely not. And in fact, the burden right now is actually on Democrats. Outside of the Rust Belt, you know, you're probably looking at a state like Florida that you would have to flip. But President Trump can actually lose two or three of those, depending on which it is, and still hold on to the presidency. And Jordan, that's if he doesn't flip any states that were actually very close the last time around. So, look, I think the map and quite frankly, the economic numbers stack up in favor of the president. And one final thing I'd add onto this, Jordan, it's ironic to me that the candidate that carries the mantle of President Obama is being billed as the centrist in this race. When it comes to a general election, that's going to be very hard to pull off. Convince people that the Obama mantle is actually a centrist message.
We gotten used to this new Democrat socialism of Bernie Sanders being the left. But as JK on Facebook wrote in, I can't wait to watch how fast Biden comes to the middle of the political spectrum. Than, if Joe Biden runs the middle political spectrum, I think his chances to get the nomination, though, are nil.
Yeah, I mean, that's why I don't think he's going to get that.
He'd have to do it after the nominating process, not during.
And I suspect he will, Jordan. I mean, you know, I mean, there are two phases to this, the primary and the general. I think you will see him run hard to the left as a progressive during the primary, at least as much as he can. And then he will try to tack back towards the to the center. But Jordan, he's going to probably do that as trying to bill himself as the working candidate. You know, he's very famous for taking the train from Delaware to D.C. I actually sat on the train on one of them, on one of those trips, and he had a long conversation with me. Then he moved on to talk to somebody else. And here's the point I would make with that. He's very good at retail politicking, Jordan, but I'm not so sure that is what carries the day. President Trump really changed the spectrum with his big rallies, his big social media presence. Do you think that Joe Biden can compete in that new dynamic? I'm not so sure he can.
I'm just not sure Joe Biden can fill up, you know, like Obama could and Trump could. And Obama was having trouble later on in his presidency, but he wasn't running again. And Hillary Clinton certainly could not. Mitt Romney could not. McCain could not. Obama could. Trump could. Trump can. He still does. And the question is, after a few rallies, can Biden get 20,000 people to a rally every time he goes somewhere and have standing room only and people, you know, standing outside of the facilities? I mean, because that's what you're up against. The perception as well of how you're portraying the media is how popular you are, how many people are coming to your rallies. And they were showing that with President Trump when he first ran and then saying he had no chance of winning, which was interesting. I think they figured that out. And I think if you're being honest about any of these polls, and I haven't seen a lot of the discussion yet about it, let's be honest about these polls. These are all victories for President Trump so far, because this is that group who does not want to tell a pollster on the phone that they're voting for President Trump. And we had this before. He never was close to winning versus Hillary Clinton. Really, until those final few days, it didn't even seem at all possible. And then at the end, it kind of shifted with the momentum that you felt, not the polling. The polling never showed it. So again, I think putting too much on those polls would be a bad idea for Biden. But really, it's about this question. And this is what I'm asking you today to call in about at 1-800-684-3110. Two things. If you were advising the president, how serious is Joe Biden a threat to your presidency? How serious of a contender is he? 1-800-684-3110. How would you advise the president? Number two, do you believe Joe Biden can make it through the Democrat nominating process? So can he get through the primary and win? He certainly could be there till the end, but can he get there and win? And then number three, is there someone else out there? You can answer any or all of those questions for us. Is there someone else out there that has just not had their moment yet or needs to have another moment that can take Joe Biden on other than Bernie Sanders? Give us a call, 1-800-684-3110. That's 1-800-684-3110. I mean, remember the Joe Biden we're talking about when he starts freewheeling on the campaign trail and he's not just behind a podium with teleprompters or in a fancy video that he puts out that he's been working on, I think, for months with his campaign team, with this very targeted, I will say it if you haven't heard, we're going to play it during the break, some of the pretty race-baiting stuff, honestly. And for a guy who's had a checkered past on, I know he's come around on this, on the race issue, but certainly has had a checkered past there, just like he has on the life issue. This is classic Biden, and this is what gets him in, I think. Unlike President Trump, who he's just a totally different person, and he's not a lifelong politician. Joe Biden has basically went to law school, ran for city council, got to the U.S. Senate, became Senate Judiciary Committee chair, ran for president a couple times, didn't get very far there, and then became vice president. I mean, that is his career right there. Take a listen to a classic Joe Biden 2009 flashback.
You know, if we do everything right, we do it with absolute certainty. We stand up there and we make really tough decisions. There's still a 30% chance we're going to get it wrong.
I'm not sure, Than, that is where people want the commander-in-chief to be on mindset. By the time you make that decision as commander-in-chief, you need to be 100% behind it and believe in it 100%.
Man, nothing like motivating people to go to the polls for you, Jordan. Do you think that your policies are going to work for America? Well, Jordan, I'm absolutely 70% sure that I've got the right strategy, the right tactic to take America to the next level. Yeah. That's just going to drive people to the polls,
yeah,
Jordan.
Yeah, right. Okay, a lot of calls coming in. We're going to get right to when we come back from this break. You know, one of our ACLJ team members, Wes Smith, is I think the only one of us who's had significant, though Than's had the train ride. Significant contact with Joe Biden on a pretty regular working basis at his time at Dover. And so we're going to talk to Wes about Joe Biden, the man, how he was interacting, and then continue to take your calls at 1-800-684-3110. Remember, we've got a matching challenge. That's up at aclj.org. This is for the month of April. It ends at the end of April. This is a great time to support the work of the ACLJ. Double your impact, your donation, aclj.org.
Only when a society can agree that the most vulnerable and voiceless deserve to be protected is there any hope for that culture to survive. And that's exactly what you are saying when you stand with the American Center for Law and Justice to defend the right to life. We've created a free, powerful publication offering a panoramic view of the ACLJ's battle for the unborn. It's called Mission Life. It will show you how you are personally impacting the pro-life battle through your support. And the publication includes a look at all major ACLJ pro-life cases, how we're fighting for the rights of pro-life activists, the ramifications of Roe v. Wade 40 years later, Planned Parenthood's role in the abortion industry, and what Obamacare means to the pro-life movement. Discover the many ways your membership with the ACLJ is empowering the right to life. Request your free copy of Mission Life today online at aclj.org/gift. At the American Center for Law and Justice, we're engaged in critical issues at home and abroad. Whether it's defending religious freedom, protecting those who are persecuted for their faith, uncovering corruption in the Washington bureaucracy, and fighting to protect life in the courts and in Congress, the ACLJ would not be able to do any of this without your support. For that, we are grateful. Now there's an opportunity for you to help in a unique way. For a limited time, you can participate in the ACLJ's Matching Challenge. For every dollar you donate, it will be matched. A $10 gift becomes $20. A $50 gift becomes $100. This is a critical time for the ACLJ. The work we do simply would not occur without your generous support. Take part in our matching challenge today. You can make a difference in the work we do, protecting the constitutional and religious freedoms that are most important to you and your family. Give a gift today online at aclj.org.
Take some of these calls. People have been holding on, and we've asked these three questions. One, if you were advising President Trump, how serious is Joe Biden a threat to his presidency? Two, do you believe there's Joe Biden can actually get through the Democrat primary because of how far left it feels like things have moved? You know, if I think it was if you could clone Obama, he could play that game of kind of sounding very leftist and still have two wars going on and extrajudicial killings and things like that, and kind of status quo on foreign affairs. Pretty tough, actually, for not always the best decision when it came to ISIS or Syria, but and leading from behind, but certainly not a far leftist. But yet he played that tone, so they didn't protest against him too much until the very end when they started moving away from him. This is not that clone. Joe Biden is not that clone. So again, I think that. Can he get through the primary? That's the second question. And the third is, do you think there's someone still out there that just isn't on the radar, maybe was, like Elizabeth Warren or Kamala Harris, who just hasn't quite honed in their message yet and can make a comeback versus these couple old white guys with Joe Biden and Bernie Sanders leading the pack? And I'm not, again, I don't think that's going to be a 30-year-old mayor. 30s, I mean, I'm in my 30s, too, he's in his 30s, but again, as commander-in-chief, I'm pretty serious about life experience and my own, and that's a pretty serious thing and what he's accomplished so far. So I want to take some calls and then go to someone on our team who's had significant interaction with Vice President Biden in a unique way, and again, not all negative here today, not just all attacking Joe Biden, but also just to kind of explain to you that we've got people on our team. So if he does become the nominee, that got to know him very well in their process. But I do want to take a call very quickly. Deborah in Texas online too. Deborah, welcome to JSecio Live.
Hi, how are you?
Hey, Deborah.
I personally think that Trump should take anyone serious.
Yeah,
because
sure.
The truth of the matter is, Obama was not on anyone's radar early on, and he became president twice.
Well, I'd say this. He wasn't on the radar of could he beat Hillary Clinton in a primary. Once he did, there was no stopping Obama. I don't think anyone underestimated him. No way McCain was going to beat him. No way Mitt Romney was going to beat him. Mitt Romney knew it. I mean, if you go back and watch those documentaries, they absolutely knew they had no chance against Obama. McCain may have thought he had a chance, but then you look at no way. I mean, remember that victory speech he gave that night in the Coliseum? I mean, it was you don't plan things like that without absolutely knowing. So, yes, Obama came out of the primary by beating Hillary Clinton and going one-on-one with Hillary Clinton. That was a big deal. But then Bernie Sanders took Hillary Clinton one-on-one, so maybe she wasn't so tough. But I do, Deborah, totally agree. You take all of this, whoever becomes the nominee, you take seriously, because I think you can put up anyone versus President Trump, and we're such a divided country right now, and they at least get 42% of the vote. I mean, Than, you tend to agree with that? They're at least at 40%+ if they are candidate A versus Trump. Yep. is still going to run a close race.
Yeah, and add to that, Jordan, I don't think there's any way they could run a campaign as poorly as Hillary Clinton did. I bet you they'll put boots on the ground in the states that matter, because that's how the election will be determined. And, Jordan, I have this experience just like you do. If a candidate does not take their eventual opponent seriously, they are going to lose. I don't care what candidate that is. And
absolutely,
I think you've already seen this morning that President Trump will take the eventual opponent seriously.
Yeah, that is not the question I'm asking or laughing this off. My question is, do you think Joe Biden is the candidate that will be that serious candidate? Do you think he can get through the primary process? Or is there someone else out there that maybe from your state that you're following closely, or you think can have a comeback? Can Elizabeth Warren have a comeback? Can Kamala Harris have a comeback to kind of take the mantle, so it's not just this what appears to be forming right now, and it's very early, but when you got 20 candidates in, it's going to be tough to cut through the noise if you're not popular early. That can kind of at least be a third option. You know, who's going to be the third option serious that can take on? Is there someone? That's what I'm asking. 1-800-684-3110. But let me go to a retired Colonel Wes Smith, and this has to do with your work as a retired colonel and chaplain in the Army, and very serious and sombering work you did at Dover. So you got to know Vice President Biden well, as you would have any vice president, but it happened to be Vice President Biden during your service. Tell people about what you were doing at Dover. I know we've told them before, but we have new listeners coming all the time, and about your experience with Vice President Biden.
Yeah. I was assigned as the project officer at Dover Air Force Base at the National Port Mortuary, because up until that time, it had been an Air Force mission and on an Air Force base, because most of the casualties were Army and Marines. They wanted an Army officer to be in charge of the family support mission and the dignified transfers on the tarmac when those killed in the wars, and there were two wars going on at the time when I was there, when they came back. And so that was my job, to meet with the families. And then every time there were any casualties, there was always at least one, sometimes more, senior-level personnel from the federal government in Washington, D.C., who would come up by helicopter or plane. And then these individuals would meet with the families individually. I would brief the senior official coming in about family dynamics, how they were handling their grief and what have you, and then take them in for an introduction. And then each VIP from D.C. would spend time with these families. And so in that context, I got to be with Vice President Biden. And the thing about him, and, you know, as far as him being a formidable candidate, if he can get the nomination, I think he absolutely would be. I doubt that he can get the nomination because the Democratic Party has lurched so far to the left, and some of their candidates, some of the things they're espousing are actually borderline crazy. But if he were to get the nomination, he would be the most formidable candidate against President Trump for a number of reasons. First of all, their age is virtually the same. They're both white guys. So they sort of cancel each other out on that. But when it comes to Vice President Biden, in my interactions with him, he was very, very good with those families of the fallen. He has a self-deprecating humor. He's very, very winsome and approachable. One of the most down-to-earth officials from Washington who ever came and helped us with casualties. And because of that, his likability factor will be high, and that makes him a formidable candidate because both of them are older white men. And so I think he does have to be taken seriously. He is way ahead in the polls right now, but on the other hand, Jordan, as you and Than both know, polls are sort of like a snapshot. They're a still photograph of what's going on politically. The real, you know, predictive thing is the tracking. What happens over the days and the weeks and the months as time goes by, and the trends in that regard, I think it's pretty, you know, pretty predictable that today, the day he announces that the vice president, former vice president, would be ahead of President Trump in the polls, but that will not necessarily always be the same. But he will be a formidable candidate because his ability, as Will and I were talking, his talents as a retail politician, he comes across as very credible, very compassionate, almost like Bill Clinton did when he ran the first time. He can relate to the common man.
So in the ceremonial sense, he's very good.
Oh, very good.
And again, I think he's going to play that up, not to take away from.
No.
I'm not saying he's taking away from that either. Those were, for anybody on any side of the aisle to do that is not easy, to greet those families and help through their suffering. So again, he does have that part going for him in this longtime government service all the way to vice president with the military. But that doesn't necessarily mean he's popular with military voters. You know, it doesn't mean he's necessarily popular with the working man in 2019, 2020, when you've got President Trump as the Republican nominee. 30 minutes coming up. Lots of calls to take. We'll be right back.
At the American Center for Law and Justice, we're engaged in critical issues at home and abroad. For a limited time, you can participate in the ACLJ's Matching Challenge. For every dollar you donate, it will be matched. A $10 gift becomes $20. A $50 gift becomes $100. You can make a difference in the work we do, protecting the constitutional and religious freedoms that are most important to you and your family. Give a gift today online at aclj.org.
Live from Washington, D.C., Jay Sekulow Live.
The core values of this nation, our standing in the world, our very democracy, everything that has made America, America is at stake. That's why today I'm announcing my candidacy for President of the United States. I asked President Obama not to endorse. Whoever wins this nomination should win it on their own merits.
And now, your host, Jordan Sekulow.
Yeah, we'll ask about that if he gets neck and neck with Bernie Sanders later in the race and still believes that he shouldn't get endorsements from popular former presidents. Unless he believes that endorsement wouldn't help right now. I mean, he knows Democrat politics better than I do, and his people working for him. Big asterisk right there, too, I will say, people working for him, because he says that he will kind of start rolling out his senior team of political advisors in the coming days and weeks. So we're kind of getting close to the end of this week. My big question for that, because unlike some of these other candidates who kind of pre-announced that, so let you know what kind of heavy hitters in the political world are going to be joining their team. I know last presidential campaign I was on, it was already out there that I was on the team before the candidate announced. And I was just one of a handful of the senior advisors. And so they were already putting that out before, just to let people know, like, well, this guy has already been snapped up, or this person's been snapped up. So they're taking this talent and that talent from here. He instead is, again, planning to announce his staffing. And I think, Than, what I'm going to be looking for there is, are the Obama loyalists, or the Clinton folks who kind of came from the Obama world too, the names we know, the kind of most that have been through this before with Bernie Sanders, are they there, or are they staying out of this?
Yeah, and from what I'm hearing, Jordan, I think they are going to be there, at least the ones that are most recognizable. I'm hearing that those will be the names he announces. I think he'll have a couple others in there as well that are not from the Obama world, probably trying to communicate some sort of balance. But, Jordan, I think when we see these names, you're going to see clear evidence that he does want to carry the Obama mantle. And look, I mean, we've already talked about this a little bit. I'm not trying to be extra pejorative, but I think you have to look back at the Obama years and see if you want the policies that President Obama put forward to be the ones that carry forward after 2020. Because if you're adding policy people, Jordan, and you know this better than anyone, but if you're adding policy people that have a proven track record, you can expect that those are going to be the policies that the boss will eventually put forward, will run on, and will govern on. I think that's going to be a hard move to make, but I do think you're right. That's what you need to look for. Are the Obama people on his team? And every indication I'm getting here in D.C., Jordan, the answer is going to be yes.
Yeah, I mean, do you know any of those names yet, Than?
I know some rumors. I'm not to the point where I would want to say them at this point, but let me put it to you this way. The group I saw in a list, you're going to recognize three or four of them, and all of them will be Obama people. The non-Obama people, if the list I saw is accurate, you're not going to know those names. So the headline names, the ones that will get the attention, you're going to associate them with President Obama.
Okay, so he'll get some of these, like the main kind of party loyalist. Right now, because I would say that Obama wing is the most mainstream of the Democrat Party, though it's pretty liberal. It's kind of where he took the party. So he'll have some of those behind him. It'll be interesting to me, Harry, this new phase we're in, where it's not how much money did you raise in a quarter or how much money you raise in a week, but how much you raise in 24 hours. This is new for Joe Biden, too, because he has not been the guy because he's been vice president. So it was Obama raising that kind of quick millions through small donations. I'm assuming he's going to have that launched up ready. I'm sure it's already up ready to go. But it would be pretty sad if he comes in far behind like what Bernie Sanders was able to do.
You raise a very good point, and Joe Biden is not known for nimbleness. And so one of the key questions for him is, can he adapt to the new politics that is out there? And I think the jury is out in that question.
Yeah, I mean, listen, I think Bernie Sanders was like $18 million in 24 hours. So I think Joe Biden, not expected to necessarily do that, but something better than what like the mayor did in South Bend, Indiana. I mean, $6 million, $7 million is not going to make it, not going to look real good. And then maybe he blows it out. And maybe there's all these people that have been just waiting to back someone. We don't know, but we're going to know pretty soon. And a lot of that will be the metrics we judge Joe Biden on for right now before debates begin. he'll start getting hit from the left, remember?
At the American Center for Law and Justice, we're engaged in critical issues at home and abroad. Whether it's defending religious freedom, protecting those who are persecuted for their faith, uncovering corruption in the Washington bureaucracy, and fighting to protect life in the courts and in Congress, the ACLJ would not be able to do any of this without your support. For that, we are grateful. Now there's an opportunity for you to help in a unique way. For a limited time, you can participate in the ACLJ's Matching Challenge. For every dollar you donate, it will be matched. A $10 gift becomes $20. A $50 gift becomes $100. This is a critical time for the ACLJ. The work we do simply would not occur without your generous support. Take part in our matching challenge today. You can make a difference in the work we do, protecting the constitutional and religious freedoms that are most important to you and your family. Give a gift today online at aclj.org. Only when a society can agree that the most vulnerable and voiceless deserve to be protected is there any hope for that culture to survive. And that's exactly what you are saying when you stand with the American Center for Law and Justice to defend the right to life. We've created a free, powerful publication offering a panoramic view of the ACLJ's battle for the unborn. It's called Mission Life. It will show you how you are personally impacting the pro-life battle through your support. And the publication includes a look at all major ACLJ pro-life cases, how we're fighting for the rights of pro-life activists, the ramifications of Roe v. Wade 40 years later, Planned Parenthood's role in the abortion industry, and what Obamacare means to the pro-life movement. Discover the many ways your membership with the ACLJ is empowering the right to life. Request your free copy of Mission Life today online at aclj.org/gift.
Will you be rushing to buy a Totes for Joe from JoeBiden.com? That's not endorsing that. Just I wanted to check out his newly launched website. If you do, what you will notice right away at JoeBiden.com is that it is our best days still lie ahead, a picture of him and all the different amounts you can donate, because he realizes, just like his team realizes, they are serious people and serious operatives, that they've got to fundraise and fundraise very quick. And yes, they're having a big fundraiser tonight. They'll probably add that number to what they raise. So they probably got a pot already that's pretty decent, but probably not like 18 million. So online too, those numbers get reported though. There's not really a way to track that until you get to the quarterly reports. So again, it'll just be interesting to see how Joe Biden plays this 24 hours. I'm very interested to see what gets reported out of his campaign, because it's been kind of a bizarre rollout from my perspective, because it was so obvious he was getting in, and then it looked like he was second-guessing for the second time. But I want to get to your phone calls. People have been holding on, 1-800-684-3110. Before I do, let me tell you, we've got, you may remember we did this, I hosted it with the Jay Sekulow Band. We did it in our performing arts studio, if you will, our here in our broadcast studio. We've got upstairs from us, a staging set up, and the Jay Sekulow Band was live. I forget, it was about, when was that? A little bit before New Year's. So it was a matching challenge time, an important fundraising time. We're going to do the last day of this month is next Tuesday, April 30th. It's the last day of the matching challenge. So the Jay Sekulow Band with my dad and all those band members that you know, very famous in their own right, we'll be performing live at 9 p.m. Eastern time on Facebook, on the Jay Sekulow Facebook page. We'll talk about it more, promote it more. But just so you know, that's coming up on Tuesday. I'll be hosting it, and it's the final day of the matching challenge. It'll be a great time of music, but also a great time to remind you to support the work of the ACLJ. And again, it's something they don't often do. But I know they've been, can you even imagine, my dad has gotten practices in, as busy as he's been. He's traveling again right now. But he has, so the band will be ready to go and rock your socks off once again. That's just next Tuesday, 9 PM Eastern time. If you doubt, you know, I guess, the ability for my dad, he's got the stamina to go that he could go the distance in these races. I mean, geez. But 9 PM Eastern time next week, just kind of note that right now, and we'll continue to talk about it on tomorrow and, of course, Monday and Tuesday on the radio broadcast. I want to get back to Biden. This was an interesting moment he had with Paul Ryan talking about abortion in 2012. because this is a party, remember, that has moved now, the Democrat Party, to abortion on demand up until birth, you know, like the state of New York, and it's happening across the country. And even governors like Cuomo there, who don't consider themselves far leftist either, are endorsing that. Hillary Clinton was endorsing that. Take a listen how Joe Biden likes to have it both ways. And he is a Roman Catholic. In his debate with Paul Ryan, this was back in 2012, before those new extreme abortion laws were on the book by 26.
I accept my church's position on abortion as a what we call de fide doctrine. Life begins at conception. That's the church's judgment. I accept it in my personal life. But I refuse to impose it on equally devout Christians and Muslims and Jews. And I just refuse to impose that on others, unlike my friend here, the congressman. I do not believe that that we have a right to tell other people that women, they can't control their body. It's a decision between them and their doctor. In my view, in the Supreme Court, I'm not going to interfere with that.
One, I will say that statement alone. How could you personally believe? Take out the religious nature of it. If you accept a doctrine based off that it's truth, that life begins at conception, it doesn't matter if it's because you're Roman Catholic and that's the teaching. You've accepted that personally. So you believe it's a human life at conception, but you're okay with the human life being killed because you don't want to impose a religious belief. It doesn't even have to be a religious belief to believe that. I mean, so it's him trying to have it both ways with, I think, Catholic voters and himself, someone who probably doesn't like having to say, or he's just gotten to be such a politician that doesn't matter to him that he can, that he really isn't pro-abortion, but he is for abortion on demand and no, you know, do whatever you want. So he would probably endorse a law like in New York, no problem. It'll be interesting if NARALs or any of them say anything about Joe Biden in the past. We can look that up too. We got lots of time to talk about Joe Biden over the next and these other 19 candidates. But Wes, Joe Biden did not start his political career as a pro-abortion leftist Democrat. He was an anti-school busing friend of the segregationist in Democrats. They were Democrats back then. When they reformed, they became Republicans and tried to bridge gaps there. I mean, he just gave the eulogy at Fritz Holland's at his funeral, and Fritz Hollins was one of those. He was, again, a segregationist who did change and was seen as someone who was pro-civil rights, but Joe Biden was working with him when he was still a segregationist and a Democrat before he became a Republican. He was also not like this on abortion either.
No, not at all.
He made strong statements probably back in the day when he was first getting elected as a Democrat, Catholic, heavy Catholic state, you know, a northeastern state. Being pro-abortion was not the way to go.
No. In 1973, he entered the Senate as a 30-year-old practicing Catholic who concluded that Roe v. Wade, the previous year, that the Supreme Court had gone too far, as he said, on that. He told an interviewer in 1974, the following year, which is the total antithesis of what you just played, but he said the following year in 1974 that a woman should not have, and this is a quote, the sole right to say what should happen to her body, unquote. And yet, you know, of course, has completely done a 180 since then. Here's the thing that I think part of what's wrong with the body politic in America is that politicians seem to, with great ease, have deep moral convictions that do not inform their policies or their politics. And, you know, we need people with deep moral convictions who actually, you know, exhibit and live by those convictions, both in public and in private. If you have a deep moral conviction, but you only embrace that in private, never in public, I doubt that it is a deep moral conviction. And yet, as you said, I think the former vice president is trying to have it both ways on this issue. I think it's interesting for those who have supported Donald Trump in the last election. You know, he campaigned on trying to drain the swamp.
Yep.
Joe Biden, with all due respect, he has been in Washington over 40 years. You can make the case that he is a swamp creature.
Yeah, he's played both sides. He's been on every issue. He's been on both sides of every issue. And listen, President Trump, I think you can have honest conversions on these issues when you actually have to think about them. You know, when you're not a politician, abortion may not be on the top of your list when you're a big business guy like Donald Trump. But once he began running and got informed, he's been a great advocate for life. And don't just take my word for it. Go to groups who, and we're major pro-life group, but groups who are solely dedicated to the life issue. And they will tell you, no one has done more for the pro-life cause than President Trump, whether it's his nominees to the courts, whether it's policies been put in place, they have HHS throughout. I mean, and he's willing to do more. He was willing to sign the defunding of Planned Parenthood. That was prevented by a Republican, the late John McCain, it would have gotten to his desk. It's interesting how, we're going to get right to your calls, but how NARAL, and keep calling, you got time to be on the show today, 1-800-684-3110. We've got a whole other segment coming up. Just wanted to get some stuff out there before we got to too many of the calls. And for those of you who have been holding on, we're going to get you all books. So let's start getting these people's addresses now while I am talking about, this is an interesting kind of tepid response, Harry, from NARAL's president. They're kind of saying, you know, let's see what you have, Joe Biden. So it's NARAL's president, Elise Hoge, tweeted after Joe Biden's announcement, "Welcome to the race, Joe Biden. We appreciate your willingness to listen to women and learn from our experience. We want to hear your ideas about defending the acute threats to our fundamental reproductive freedoms and shift culture to address women's agency. #2020 election." Definitely not an endorsement, not really a threat, but more of a, you better tell us exactly where you are on these issues. Are you gonna promote laws like the laws in New York, or are you gonna be some wishy-washy? Are you gonna be wishy-washy on abortion? I believe to get the nomination, from the traditional Democratic Party right now, he will end up being in, you know, a Planned Parenthood style, NARAL style candidate.
I think that's precisely correct, but I also think
he'll never want to say it that way.
Legitimate questions, yep, about Joe Biden. When he announced his candidacy today, he claims that we have to remember who we are. But the real question, of course, is who is Joe Biden? Is he a pro-life advocate or a radical pro-abortion activist? Is he an adamant proponent of segregation as he was in the 1970s, or is he a civil rights proponent? And he now claims that civil rights is the defining issue of his life. So there are many questions about Joe Biden. And I think the real question is, does Joe Biden know who he is?
Is he just too much of a politician without anything else? I mean, he's been literally a politician since younger than me in the U.S. Senate, and then to VP and running for president. I mean, that's basically it. I mean, he was a lawyer for a short period of time, but then on the city council right out of law school. So, the political world is the only world he has been in, not the business world, not the military world, and a lot of experience, certainly in government, but that is the swamp that we've been trying to fix, and the American people have been trying to fix. We'll be right back.
Only when a society can agree that the most vulnerable and voiceless deserve to be protected is there any hope for that culture to survive. And that's exactly what you are saying when you stand with the American Center for Law and Justice to defend the right to life. We've created a free, powerful publication offering a panoramic view of the ACLJ's battle for the unborn. It's called Mission Life. It will show you how you are personally impacting the pro-life battle through your support. And the publication includes a look at all major ACLJ pro-life cases, how we're fighting for the rights of pro-life activists, the ramifications of Roe v. Wade 40 years later, Planned Parenthood's role in the abortion industry, and what Obamacare means to the pro-life movement. Discover the many ways your membership with the ACLJ is empowering the right to life. Request your free copy of Mission Life today online at aclj.org/gift. At the American Center for Law and Justice, we're engaged in critical issues at home and abroad. Whether it's defending religious freedom, protecting those who are persecuted for their faith, uncovering corruption in the Washington bureaucracy, and fighting to protect life in the courts and in Congress, the ACLJ would not be able to do any of this without your support. For that, we are grateful. Now there's an opportunity for you to help in a unique way. For a limited time, you can participate in the ACLJ's Matching Challenge. For every dollar you donate, it will be matched. A $10 gift becomes $20. A $50 gift becomes $100. This is a critical time for the ACLJ. The work we do simply would not occur without your generous support. Take part in our Matching Challenge today. You can make a difference in the work we do, protecting the constitutional and religious freedoms that are most important to you and your family. Give a gift today online at aclj.org.
Hey, welcome to Jay Sekulow Live. This is Jordan Sekulow. We are taking your phone calls. And again, I want to get right to them, but I have to play this fun Biden gaffe. This is back 2008. Just take a listen.
This election year, the choice is clear. One man stands ready to deliver change we desperately need. A man I'm proud to call my friend. A man who will be the next president of the United States, Barack America.
Barack America. I mean, this is why it just can get funny with him, because off the cuff, he just is a little goofy and says goofy stuff. And sometimes it's just goofy and funny, and sometimes it comes across very bad. And he's been on, you know, caught on these hot mics. And I'm not sure that matters this much these days, because tough talk is kind of the way of politics these days. So, I mean, you know, on... I would say that for a guy who acts very tough, taking punches to the face from President Trump rhetorically on stage is something that even a lot of tough presidential candidates could not handle. Hillary Clinton, very tough, and she couldn't handle it. The other Republican candidates were just beaten to a pulp by President Trump. Joe Biden, I think, is more like that, but it's more similar in vein, maybe same kind of grew up in that same sense. But, you know, he's been a pretty fancy pants politician for most of his life. I mean, he's gone through some horrible tragedies. No one will take that story away from him, and the loss of his son even more recently, the loss of his wife, daughter. I mean, all of that is tough. And he's stuck with it as a public servant. So I'm not going to, but we're talking electoral politics, and politics is a blood sport. It's a rhetorical blood sport, and President Trump has shown he has been the haymaker of this sport, and is really, when it comes down to those debate settings. Let's get right to the phones, though. I want your opinions now. Maya, thanks for holding on. We're going to get you all books, signed books, in New York online for Maya. Welcome to Jay Sekulow Live.
Hi, Jordan. It's great to be on the show. You asked the question, what would I advise Trump as far as the campaign, and I would advise that he stay on message. He's the only candidate that is talking about securing our borders. No other candidate is talking about that. The American people are concerned. We do have a crisis at the borders, and Trump is the only one discussing that, as well as other issues. The Democrats have nothing to put on the table. I don't care who it is, whether it's Biden or some new person, like you were discussing earlier. It doesn't matter if someone comes out of the woodwork. They still have no message. They have nothing to put on the table against Trump. So I would just say for Trump to stay on message. And also, on another point, I would say to just keep in mind that ISIS is still a threat. And I know he says that it's no longer, you know, in existence, but I think people are still concerned with that.
Well, listen, I think President Trump should stay on message. The border issue is serious. The immigration crisis is serious. He will have to, I think, again, address some of the problems that he hasn't been able to address because of the stalemates, Than in Washington. That's infrastructure, which we still have not gotten to. Also, the healthcare system.
Well, I think the common thread there is national security, Jordan. I mean, there's clearly been incredible strides made against ISIS, destroying the caliphate, eliminating all the territory they hold. But of course, there's still a threat. I mean, we warned this from the very beginning. It's a little bit different type of threat, but it's still one that has to be addressed. But that same thread, Jordan, goes down to the debate on the southern border. I mean, the president has literally done everything in his power and has been opposed at every move by Washington, D.C. At some point, Jordan, both parties in Washington, I would say Republicans in the Senate, Democrats in the House, are going to have to get serious about working with him to address that very real threat. And quite frankly, I you know, in a general election, I don't see how a Democrat nominee has any chance unless they actually have a plan to address that national security crisis. Because I think voters of all political stripes, Jordan, I think they've seen these images and they know the president's right that there's a crisis.
Yeah, I mean, I think destroying ISIS and what we were able to do in Syria, I think the red line there is going to hurt Biden a lot. That was drawn by the president he served and the humanitarian crisis, and the Trump administration went right in and has cleaned up ISIS. Yes, we're seeing the remnants of that. We're seeing the remnants of it, you know, in Sri Lanka. But there's no more caliphate, and that is a big deal. I don't think he's just going to be able to run on, two things. One, you know, I was in the room when they killed Osama bin Laden, because we're dealing with a new threat now, and they're just as extreme or more, and they're still carrying out attacks like they did in Sri Lanka on targeting Christians. But we've been able to, you know, stay pretty safe in the United States of America, and we've been able to pull down some of our troop levels across the world to be ready for the next threat, with a president who is not worried, by the way, when a red line is crossed like it was in Syria, to strike back. Second, let's not forget, you know, when it comes to Russia, it was President Obama, the president he served, who said and was caught telling Dmitry Medvedev, you know, when I get reelected, I'm going to have a lot more flexibility to deal with you, Russia. So I don't know, you know, like how far he's going to want to go with that either on the Mueller stuff and all of that, because he served a president who said he'll be flexible, and under that president allowed Russia to annex Crimea. So again, that's just my thoughts on some of, when we start getting into the weeds, remember that about him. He served a president who let Vladimir Putin walk in and annex Crimea, and told the acting president, who was kind of just holding the spot for Putin with the way they did their rules, but while his mic was still live behind the stage, that once he gets reelected, he'll have a lot more flexibility. He mocked Mitt Romney for saying that Russia was a serious threat. And now, of course, they're going to want to have their cake and eat it too. And that never works in politics. And there's been a lot of that in Joe Biden's career, I will say. When it comes to his political Joe Biden, I think he's a likable guy outside of politics, but political Joe Biden has been a lot of have your cake and eat it too. I'm pro-life, but I'm also 100% pro-abortion. I believe life begins at conception, but you can abort the baby at any time. I mean, it's just a lot of these have a cake and eat it too. Let's go to Bob in California, line one. We'll take these calls very quickly.
Hello, I just want to say that I think Joe Biden would be the best candidate for the Democrats to run, because the other candidates are too extreme. And I don't care who runs against Trump, he's going to beat them all.
Well, listen, they'll all be taken seriously, Harry. They all have to be taken seriously. Than said it, I've said it. You always take them seriously, because I think by President Trump was not taken seriously by Hillary Clinton. And that shows you right there. When you think you just are going to get it and you're going to break through some ceiling, the ceiling comes crashing down on you.
I think that's precisely correct. And so in response to the caller's question, I think the real question for Biden is, does he embrace all of the radical ideas of left-wingers, including, for instance, Medicare for all, or does he continue to support the destruction of private health care through Obamacare, which is simply not working for large numbers of Americans.
We had a lot of interest in this today, depending on the news and depending on what Joe Biden releases too about fundraising. We may get into this again tomorrow, because we could not get to every call as we were trying to analyze someone who has had a career in politics longer than I've been alive, and longer than probably most of you have had just one job. I mean, that he stayed in the political world 100%. He didn't have those 15 years in the private sector or anything like that, or in military. Which is unique too. So I don't think he won't be able to contrast that with President Trump either, the military service issue. We have a matching challenge right now. Whatever you can donate to the ACLJ is doubled. Remember that concert Tuesday, 9 p.m. Eastern time on Facebook on the Jay Sekulow page. Go to aclj.org. Donate today through the month of April.
At the American Center for Law and Justice, we're engaged in critical issues at home and abroad. For a limited time, you can participate in the ACLJ's Matching Challenge. For every dollar you donate, it will be matched. A $10 gift becomes $20. A $50 gift becomes $100. You can make a difference in the work we do, protecting the constitutional and religious freedoms that are most important to you and your family. Give a gift today online at aclj.org.